This is the 2012 annual general meeting of the CEC. As required by the charter and bylaws of the CEC, there's an annual general meeting, and this is it this year. And normally in these, there's a standing agenda, which as you can see is the adoption of the agenda, adoption of the minutes, business arising, the president's report from the board, other business, and in there is the treasurer's report and the proposed budget and the adjournment. By and large, in these meetings over the years, because the information has been available online for a long time, any questions which may have arisen from previous meetings have usually been answered by the board during that time. I propose that we go with accepted motions unless there's discussion. For example, is it acceptable to accept the agenda as such?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The agenda is therefore adopted as presented. The minutes from the 2011 AGM were presented at that time, and you can see a list on the printed documentation of the people who were present at the meeting last year, with the date of that and the minutes. If you would quickly review the minutes on pages 1 and 2 of the documentation that Jeff has presented, and if there are any questions that arise from the minutes, we can deal with that in point 3. Some of the items which came up under other business will be brought back today, and also there was a motion that was presented at the last AGM, and according to the bylaws, changes to the bylaws require that they be brought up at one meeting and then tabled for presentation at the next meeting, so that at a later meeting, so there can be adequate time for discussion and consultation. Usually when there are changes such as this, there's been a year's consultation or more before the item even comes up. So this is why there's largely a consensus agenda for these meetings. Are there any comments on the minutes from last year or questions arising? Is it acceptable to have a consensual review without taking a formal vote?
Yep.
Okay, thank you. We need to just confirm who is here who is able to vote, which means there are full membership in the CEC.
Yeah, I have the list on the computer.
Yeah, I have the list of the
computer,
but people will know. Richard, are you full?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Darren?
Yeah.
Yeah,
we're full. I'm with him.
Okay.
You get half a vote.
Yes, exactly.
We can use you to decide times. Interestingly, in 25 years, there's never been a motion which has been rejected in a meeting. It's partly because the association has run at such a high level of consensus before items even appear at the meeting. It's not.
Just a quick question. I'm attending without having formally registered or paid.
No, you have formally registered and paid. Jeff?
It's a bit of a
Michael Palumbo has signed the forms, and he's given me, he cut his wrist with one of my single edged razor blade, and we did this, so.
It's good, start draining it and we're good.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Every new uses for this blade razor blade. It's like,
yes, would you like to borrow one?
Well, I got tape at home. I can.
No,
bring
I have tape.
I
can mention one.
I know you have it. You're ready always. I mean, all I need is a splicing block, and we're good.
I'm going to the third item on the agenda is business arising. Are there any items arising apart from the modification to the bylaws? I've asked David Buckhorn to present the report.
So I don't know if anyone's had a chance to read it.
yet or not. It's on the, is that the second last page? Second last and last page of the handout here. Would you prefer that I read it, or?
Well, you can just go mention the headings and the.
Yeah, maybe I'll just mention the headings. So in the report, which has been posted online already, and we'll stay there. I talk about how our 25th anniversary year, this meeting is the end of the 25th anniversary year of the CEC, really was characterized by two things. We had a very successful cross-country tour with events in a whole number of cities, starting in Montreal and then going through Victoria, Vancouver, Edmonton, Calgary, Winnipeg, Toronto, Hamilton, and ending in St. John. So that was a special project this year. And then there was steady growth and refinements and nuancing to our ongoing core projects, JTTP and eContact above all. I talk a little bit about the most recent iteration of the JTTP competition and congratulate all the participants, list the five winners. Mention that eContact is finishing its fourth year of publishing and note the recent issues on biotechnological performance practice and a soon to appear issue on turntablism. CEC's finances are strong as ever, and the details are in the treasurer's reports and also in the attached financial documents. And finally, I finish by thanking a lot of the people who've contributed to the CEC over its 25 years, starting with founding legal members Kevin Austin, here with us today, and Jean-François Denis, but also a long extended family of board members, friends, and collaborators. Finally, I don't think there would be any better way to finish the 25th anniversary year of the CEC than by a renewed membership drive of some form. So if you are a member but are lapsed or in some respect in your membership payments, it's a good time to settle up. We've been doing a lot of that this year, but there's still a few stragglers here and there. And if you are already a member in good standing, maybe find a friend, a colleague, a student, a peer, and poke them, prod them into taking that step and showing the seriousness of their commitment to EA activity in Canada and elsewhere. I think there's some details that I've skipped, but that's basically what it says in the report. One thing maybe I can add that's not in the report is that this will be my last year as the president of the CEC. So ending 2013, and there has been a discussion in the board about board renewal, and maybe we'll come back to that when we talk about the proposed modification to the bylaws, because it's pertinent to that as well.
Thank you very much for the report, which will be online. Mm-hmm. It will be in board documentation. Are there any questions on the...
Yeah, sorry, sir.
For David? JTTP, which is the Young Emerging Sound Artists Competition, is it the 11th year now?
That sounds right.
Continues to attract international attention, not just in performance, but the works which are created.
No, 13th edition of JTTP.
13th edition. Yeah. Go into Solus, which is picked up by a number of radio stations around the world, and see them turning up on the works being listed in it. And at some point, we'll look back and see how JTTP has forwarded the position of electroacoustics, but also specifically individual composers over the years who have won one or two iterations of this and have gone on to other places. JTTP is a kind of an entry level competition rather than a for professional or finished composers and that way. The treasurer's report, I will present this to the people. The finances you can see on about five pages in. It has community electroacoustic again, Canadian electroacoustic community, that whole financier, financial report, the balance sheet. This is
Sorry, if I can interrupt you, Kevin. Yes. Jeff wants a motion to approve the president's report.
Is it consensual to accept the president's report?
Yes.
Yes.
That should do, Jeff.
Accepted by consensus.
Yep.
Okay, thank you. The treasurer's report, you can see the figures there, the kind of global ongoing figures are around in the $28,000 to $30,000 range. This does not include the other kinds of projects which are built in and are being funded through individual grants. You'll see some of that information on the next page, where you'll see that the SOCAN Foundation and core funding in the CEC 25 last year. The assistance which was received was on the order of $34,500, which included most of the universities which were visited, or spaces which were, environments which were visited, paid between 30 and 50% of the costs of the presentation at this, at the place. So the while it says $34,500, that includes contributions by others in the universities, paid certain costs, and picked up other costs along the way, services in kind, equipment rentals, and many things.
Shouldn't that be shown as a separate item that's in kind, or?
That actually is in the full.
Is that?
That is in the full report.
Oh,
this is
just a summary.
This is the summary to keep it
within
7 days long.
Yes. Okay.
This is an audited summary as well. This has been reviewed by an accountant.
Okay.
And
is that usually in kind, or things like that, or guarantee fees, or other forms of contribution that were not a foundation or government? Do they do have their own line of things?
If it were for the operation of the association, that would be, but it was specifically for the 25th anniversary.
Okay.
So the 25th anniversary is a standalone.
Yeah, okay.
The way the CEC is structured, the CEC actually doesn't do events for a large number of reasons. It's much easier to have an arm's length structural entity that handles those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
It keeps the CEC from coming in conflict with its membership, because when they're done externally, as an external arm's length organization, if decisions have to be taken about who's going to be represented, it's not the CEC that decides that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the conferences are done at an arm's length.
Yeah, I know, but I guess if there's, in order to put the event on, well, it's just odd to put it under, it looks like SOCAN gave you a grant of $34,000, that's all.
Yeah, I think Jeff is trying to, I think Kevin's a bit confused about that,
okay.
And Jeff is trying to clarify in the message there,
okay,
that the institutional contributions are in the bottom of the revenue section, and they're listed as $6,000, and that what you're seeing on that first line is the SOCAN Foundation's core funding for the CEC,
plus
stuff for the CEC 25th anniversary.
Oh, okay.
But the institutional contributions that Kevin was talking about are actually at the bottom line of the revenues
line
there.
Okay. And
they don't include the substantial in-kind contributions from the institution. So the $6,000 that you see at the bottom there is the institutional cash contributions.
Yeah. Right.
And then, of course, the other things that Kevin mentioned, like space and all that, that's simply not on this budget.
Yeah, okay. Right. Okay, that's more clear. Yeah. Okay.
Excessive revenue over expenses is almost $2,000. This is the, I think 2 years ago there was a deficit, and this is just catching up. The CEC in its bylaws has the provision for the development of a capital fund of some kind, which is one of the reasons why the CEC is not a charitable organization, dealing with living in Canada and having cash flow from year to year becomes, for those of you who are charitable organizations, understand that you have to have fund specifically identified projects to be allowed to carry money from year to year.
Mm-hmm.
So the CEC was set up to avoid that difficulty. It's not a charitable, it's not for profit, but it's not charitable.
Mm-hmm.
No. attached to these, official type of feasibility that there are. I will ask Eve if he can try and work on that for next year then.
What's that?
To get a little more detail. If this happens again.
Yeah, although I think what David explained is clear.
David,
can
you
speak to Australia
in
some way?
Yes.
Are there other questions on the budget?
Yeah.
Can we consensually agree?
I have a question. I'm just curious to know what aspects of internet and communications are your typical sorts of bills? Is it?
Sorry, can I just interrupt very quickly? Would it be possible for people to speak a little bit louder? There's an echo that's really difficult for me to understand things. If you speak louder, your direct voice is louder than the echo, and I can understand it better.
So, Peebles is asking about internet costs.
Yeah, I was just curious, is that mostly costs associated with maintaining Sonos and things like that, where you've got a lot of people accessing it?
Historically, Concordia University covered the costs of this and provided all these costs. Foundations and funding organizations asked that the CEC represent itself as being more independent than that. And so now eContact, for example, is on the Sonos, it's called Sonos, on that server, along with Sonos, along with the site for receiving all of the Jeux de Temps times play. It has to be maintained in that way.
And so that's like a cost of, like you're paying Bell, like with someone. I'm curious to know, just like, you know, what does it cost to do that?
Well,
basically $1,000 is.
It says $1,000.
With 200.
I don't know. I just have to figure it out this time. Yeah.
Sounds about right.
It's about $80 a month.
Yes, we're talking about the web. The question is, there's $1,000 a line item for internet and communications, and as to this is going for the support of the communication system, which would be, in this case, Sonos and the eContact sites.
Exactly. It's because Eve requires a significantly faster server than we would need, for example, to do email and sort of things. It covers his internet connection, all forms of communication, any telephone calls, office, faxes, these kind of things. All of that comes under internet and communications. It's just grouped together. We have the details in a more detailed budget, but this is the summary.
It seems quite cheap, actually.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
It is.
Yeah, it seemed like you're getting kind of a good deal for all that, somehow.
The frugality is a characteristic of Swiss, and Yves Jugon is a very detailed, very careful individual in making sure the best is done with the limited resources. There's just a vote of thanks to Yves as well, and to Jeff, because they both keep very close eye on this, and given the size of the organization, the hitting above our weight.
I guess it's a related question, and tell me if you prefer me to hold it, but are you happy with the kind of service you're getting for this money, internet-wise?
I have heard...
Is it sufficient?
The only complaint we have is with Videotron, but that's a whole other Jeff Trinch. The mention of the word Videotron. I can't get onto the Videotron server today because they don't recognize the IP. But it's fine. Sonos, I have heard of no problem with Sonos and the server. Jeff, have you heard of any problems with the Sonos server?
Not since we moved it, no. It's on. Eve takes care of all of this stuff, but as I understand it, it's on iWeb. And we purchased a 10-year contract, so the costs are almost nothing per year.
Yeah, I wasn't asking if there were problems, I was asking if you're happy. Like, is it enough? So, for what you want, ideally. Did you understand?
It's been fine for our needs and limitations, or we haven't come across any limitations in space, in file transfers, or anything like that. It's for the moment, it's more than enough, yeah.
Are there other questions on the
No, it's good.
Consensual agreement on the budget?
Yes, sure.
The proposed budget for next year will look pretty much the same without the major project of the 25.
So I guess one question would be is, so is this year significantly more than in terms of expenses and revenue than it normal?
Well, because of the 25th anniversary, yeah.
Because of the 25th.
About twice as much than normal.
I don't know what the regular, what is, do you have a figure, Jeff, for the normal SOCAN Foundation support?
30,000 less.
30,000 less.
So basically, yeah.
So the SOCAN Foundation is $4,500.
Yeah.
We're receiving right now, core funding for 2012 is $9,000.
Oh, that's good.
All right. Are there other projects to go in the works for SOCAN for the next years that special projects like the 25th anniversary or others of different nature?
Core funding is core funding. It's
not through the core funding is a constant thing. It's not a project based.
I'm just saying in addition to the core funding
and the program which funded the CEC 25th anniversary has been shut down by the government.
That
this was exceptional.
It came in right under the wire.
Okay.
Are we okay?
Yep.
If there are ongoing questions during the year, the board is completely responsive to this kind of idea of questions, because it will allow the board, along with, as we'll see with the bylaws, the changes, to stay in much closer contact with the membership. So the treasury report, you will find a little more detail on the page after the two financial summary pages. In that way. Other business. This is the other item which I'm going to pass over to David Ogborn to reintroduce. This is a motion. Maybe David would like to say a few words to.
So the CEC bylaws for some time allowed for an advisory panel, and you have a copy of the CEC bylaws as they stand right now on page 3 of this handout. And in board discussions over a year ago now, the idea was put on the table of reinvigorating this. As a part of that, it seemed natural to choose slightly different language in order to emphasize slightly different things. And so the idea came up of reorienting the bylaw things about advisory panel towards a CEC council. And so these are bylaw changes that are a sort of minor changes to the bylaws that allow us to say that there is a CEC advisory council. That's sort of, and you can kind of compare the two pages, page 3 and page 4, to each other. And look at the changes and see that for the most part they are just replacing the words advisory panel with the word council, with one exception being the proposed changes to section 6.2, where terms are set out for members of this council, and it's set out that members will be invited and appointed for a term of 2 years, but there will be no limit to the number of times a member can serve on the council, nor any limit to the number of members appointed to the council. I think that kind of covers some of the legalities of it, and then maybe I can explain some more about the intention of it. Really, what this is about forming anew and maintaining an advisory council for the CEC, which is something that will be in between, if you like, in terms of scope, the membership at large and the board. The board positions, as set out in the bylaws, are 6, and in board discussion, it was determined that makes a lot of sense, and that keeping it there are lots of practical benefits to having a relatively small board like that. But we can kind of have wider representation and also, provide people a route in and out of board service by having a larger advisory council that will sort of talk to the board in a way that, let's say, the membership at large doesn't. So the idea basically is that the advisory council will, be in a more focused, intense discussion with the board. A wide variety of people from across Canada and abroad can be invited to serve for these two-year terms on the council. They'll have formal recognition for doing that, you know, on the CEC website. If someone has been invited to be part of the council and they accept that, you know, we will keep track of it, and you know, they can say that they serve the community in this way officially. So basically, it's the purpose of it. It's an initiative aimed at getting people to participate more actively in the formation of what the CEC does on an ongoing basis. You know, it's ultimately it's sort of the ongoing responsibility of the board to maintain this council. But what I would expect is that the maintenance of the council would target the traditional mandate of the CEC to ensure that diverse forms of EEA are represented, to ensure that diverse people are represented on this body. So to do that, we felt like we had to change some of the nomenclature a little bit and just make sure that the bylaws are and this council initiative are 100% on the same page. We had a discussion of this at the AGM last year, which exceptionally was very well attended. It was a big crowd, and there was a lot of discussion. But the way the CEC structures works, these things have to be brought forth at one members meeting and then considered at the next one. So now here we are, a year later. The proposal is the same as it was last year. Just the only thing that has changed is a few translation and typographical corrections have been made to the proposal relative to the one that was brought forth a year ago. So with that, that's what I have to say, and I would like to hear questions and discussion.
If there are any. Moving this, we need a second if there's going
sure.
to be discussion.
Yep.
Richard, second.
So it's discussion. Open for discussion and questions if there is any.
I guess I'm a bit clearer of what, because it's an amendment to the language in the bylaw.
Yeah.
And what does that actually change? What does that clarify?
Well, if you can see, if you look at page 4 is the new version.
Yeah.
And anywhere where you see it underlined,
yeah,
that's a change or insertion.
Okay, so.
So if you see a lot of the things that are underlined, they just say CEC Advisory Council or the Council. And if you compare back to the page before, they probably said panel or advisory panel or something like that. And then section 6.2 is entirely new. That section about terms.
The difference between panel and council, or sorry, what was it? Yeah. What is that?
It's just basically that we felt that what name was going to be more reflective. You know, when you talk about a panel, it has a slightly temporary or provisional connotation, like we're forming, you know, we're going to have a speakers panel and we're all going to get together to talk about something and then the panel will disperse. Yeah. And the idea is that this is, you know, to emphasize that this is a standing body on which people are going to serve two-year terms. Yeah. We changed the name to council.
That's the essence of the change.
That's it. Yeah. 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 The term thing, I should explain a little bit more perhaps about the term thing. Because that is the only thing that's sort of a really substantive addition to here. And that's really part of making it easier for the board and for the CEC to maintain the council. Because the idea is that people can join this relatively readily, right? We're going to identify people from diverse walks of life that are going to be part of this council. The frank reality of it is some of them are going to flake out and you're never going to hear them again. And so having two-year terms is an easy way for us to let, you know, people who perhaps didn't really want to do this expire automatically. But we're not, you know, I don't think the idea is that people are going to be sort of forced out. You've done your two-year term, you know, see ya. No, not at all.
So is there a panel now?
No. I mean, there was a panel, and there is somewhere you could dig up a list of names that was on the panel, but it has not functioned in that way for a long time. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
I just have a question. Two questions. Is there any limit on the size of the panel?
Nope.
And the second one would be, since the members can be from any organization, they don't actually have to be members, official members of the CEC. Is there anything that should be sort of stated as to sort of keeping like a ratio in terms of CEC members to sort of outside members? Is that important to?
The thing is that the and that the way they've been written, and it's consistent with the way that the bylaws were, let's say, quite presciently written from the beginning, is to give a lot of flexibility.
Okay.
So the way the particular question you're asking is addressed is in the fact that the people serve on the council at the pleasure of the board. So, you know, just frankly, it's easier to leave it that way, just to leave the board, you know, deciding how large the council is and where people come from.
Just a quick question about how that functions. I'm assuming that if someone from the community feels like they want to step forward to be a part of it, they just send a brief query to the board, and then the board says
exactly.
DNA.
And of course, the board would be very interested to hear from those people, right?
Imagine.
And see, and that was, you know, without when the former panel was disactive, that's kind of what we're missing, because, you know, for very good reasons, the board is limited to 6 people, and the CEC, you know, sort of keeps a lot of stable and easy governance that way, but unfortunately, it's only 6 people, so it sort of blocks a certain kind of discussion, which now we hope we can have by having this wider body.
Or at least it facilitates that
sure.
richness of discourse that could happen.
Yeah.
I have a question which was a long time ago, I guess maybe after I had my brief term as president of the manager's where it was. I was put on a board, a list called CEC panel, and which kind of, I guess, was like a kind of advisory. It was people that weren't on the board, I guess, right? Is this in a way, or was that a precursor to this? Or?
That was the precursor to this. The CEC panel was an email list, a closed email list, that was deemed, at that time, the CEC was trying to reach out to other communities, but the energies and the focus weren't there as to exactly what this would mean. And now, 20 years later, it's clear from what the board is saying, the board needs certain kinds of input. It needs some control over who's there, but also it needs to have the mandate to go out and seek these individuals who are going to fit with what the board is looking to do over a period of time. And I think my view is that this is an excellent step into the 21st century. It's a little bit, it could almost be on Facebook.
So you're imagining this to be very wide or very focused?
Yeah, as the board deems and needs. It could even set up the subcommittees of the council, because it has that capacity within the bylaws to do that without having to come back to discuss that.
I mean, my sense is that, you know, in my final year as the president of the CEC, that will be my main responsibility, will be to sort of form this council. And I think the idea that I have in mind, and again, emphasizing that ultimately it's going to be a matter for future boards to maintain and deal with as they wish. But starting out, I think I would sort of aim to kind of fill it with, let's say, 2 to 4 people from every province, give or take. And then other people that, you know, that hit on other constituencies. So, you know, I think that from that, the math of that, you're going to look at something with 30 to 40 people on it.
And you imagine that going to them, it's more that you go to them with specific things, and then they have the chance to come to you with specific things, but it's not about them really being involved in that general flow of communication with the board. It's more that they're access points for other issues.
I think the idea is that it'll be a discussion about similar things to what the board discusses, and other discussions besides. There'll be discussions about the CEC, right? As opposed to discussions about electroacoustics in general, right? I mean, because we have another forum. We do have CEC conference, which is not a project of the CEC, where there are very wide discussions.
Yes.
But that's not the right place for discussions about specifically about what the CEC should do.
That's things that are like they don't need to know about the internal workings of planning of the next whatever, but that you go to this advisory for suggestions of possible future directions or other issues that the CEC should tackle or something like this.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's sort of the intent.
Yeah. Yeah, and maybe near future things too. Like I think that the next time the CEC does something like a 25th anniversary tour across Canada, a wide advisory council like this will provide lots of, you know, ideas and connections for that more than a six-person board can. I mean, I think, you know, some of the discussions that now take place on the board may take place in the advisory council. I think the main thing will be the need for whether there are discussions that need discretion or not. For example, sometimes in dealing with JTTP, issues arise and competitions, right?
Yeah.
Issues arise where some kind of policy decision is needed, but it really needs to stay in a small group for reasons of discretion.
Yeah.
So those kind of discussions may be the kind that are kept away from an advisory council. But a lot of other ones, I think, could happen with a wide advisory council. You know, I don't think we have any secrets. I don't think the CEC has any secrets. Just, you know, like I say, sometimes around things like competitions, there can be some like sort of sensitive matters, but no secrets.
Can I just jump in quickly here?
Yeah. Sure, Jeff.
Okay, sorry, I couldn't tell if I was interrupting because of the echo.
Yeah.
The council also. Gives the board basically a much broader group of people to get informed from, people who are involved in different kinds of practices that maybe aren't represented on the board, so that it gives them the opportunity to be informed by these different communities and make sure that the projects the CEC is working on continues to be inclusive of all of these communities that, like I say, the board members themselves may not be working directly in.
Yeah. Well, that's good. No, that's good to articulate that.
And it also provides a slight formalization of the network.
Mm-hmm.
Of, for example, if there can be even one person from most of the major universities and most of the major EA production groups across the country, to move things forward, it's much easier to reach these people who have been designated as being the contacts in this way.
Mm-hmm.
While there's the flow of social networks that do this, there's not enough for the CEC to be liked. We need to have more than like on by someone clicking on. And it's become clear to some people in the community that with the enormously rapid growth of sound in the community, the CEC needs to try to find a way to reconnect into this growing number of areas. An example would be the live and the telematic, which have gone on. And as you know from your experience in radio, the CEC was doing radio stuff in the late 80s, and then eventually blossomed into a much larger area, and it stays in contact with that. And there may be suggestions as to how to get CEC members distributed differently or connected differently or something.
Yeah.
And it probably needs more minds than six or eight.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Well, it's good. Probably going to move on, but I think this is good.
Are there other questions or discussion? I would call for consensual agreement on that.
You don't require a formal motion.
The motion exists. It was moved and seconded by
Richard.
Richard,
yeah.
It's on the floor. And
so it's all in favor?
It can be consensual.
Okay. Well, we're all in favor. Yeah. Okay.
I think that was the last official item.
Sorry, Jeff, was there something you wanted to add? Because you typed something, but I can't quite see it on the projector.
Independent of membership.
I'm just taking notes and
okay.
for the minutes.
Okay.
Or I'm actually writing you emails right now.
Yeah.
Joke.
just like laptop composers.
Is that, are there other items that people wish to bring forward? I encourage people who have ideas to contact us very easily. Just put the idea out. And the ideas that come up over the years do get picked up, is that the CEC is under-resourced, as we all know, we all are under-resourced. And it sometimes takes a year or 2 years for ideas and things to bubble up to the surface.
I have a question on the progress of an idea, but is this a good time to ask?
Yes, absolutely.
There was some talk about taking SONUS and making it a kind of internet, like internet radio, making it broadcast, stream perhaps randomly or something like this. Did anything ever happen?
Jeff, did you hear the question from Sarah? About SONUS becoming live streamed in
I got it. There are some major programming improvements that need to be made to SONUS. That is something that, that we're looking into implementing as we improve the programming. SONUS is built on 2003 internet legacy and is in, it's a bit clunky and needs some cleaning up. But this is on the table. This has been discussed. We've been in discussion with this with Jean-François Denis as well. It's in development.
Is it the kind of thing that you could earmark how much money would make that problem be solved and do a very specific fundraiser around it?
I can't speak exactly for the amount of money, but it's several thousand dollars worth of programming. This isn't something that we can do.
Yeah,
it's something that an external.
So it was just a thought that came to mind that if you knew that it could be done with $5,000 or $7,000 more, you might want to consider making it something that you put out to the membership that you'd like to do a fund drive for that specific thing. And see if people contribute, or even do the. I'm sorry that I'm ignorant about the terms, but this social networking models of making money work really well sometimes.
Kickstarter
and things like that, because I don't know how anyone else feels, but I've felt the lack of that now for a good 6 years, and maybe other people feel enough passion for that that you could approach it like that. And it might speed up the process.
I don't think it's so much an issue of funding. What we, for example, when we apply for our core funding each year, we can propose very specific projects that are a one-time thing that we want to do. With the 25th anniversary that got underway, just as we had finished cleaning up the CAP, the Concordia Archival Project, it's a question of time and human resources at this point.
So if any of us know someone who can help you, we should let you know, and you can pay them? Is it that simple?
I'm sorry?
Is it so simple that if we know someone who could help you, if you have the budget, that we should let you know?
If you know somebody, we're open to that. It is because of how SONUS is implemented, and with the discussions with Jean-François Denis, I mean, it's a complex project. It's not something that we can simply hand over to somebody. It's something that requires people in the CEC and the board to be involved in heavily.
It's a question
of time in the administration and at this moment.
I think that's what I was going to say. Is it seems to me that looking at it, that it's not just this kind of a lack of certain resources for programming. It's like the project management resources are strained too. So. You know, I mean, is it something that could move forward? Definitely, but like there's a complex set of resources that need to come forward, I think, to make the decisions about it.
Okay.
So, I mean, personally, I would think this would be a prime candidate for an issue to kind of be raised in the advisory council that we're going to create, so that some of those complex resources can be identified.
It is something that's on the back burner, just to underline that.
It's not, because it's not just a programming issue. It's there is a kind of like complex content curation issue there as well that's going to need some real. We can't just sort of like grab a programmer and say, you know, yeah.
You can't just put in a random shuffle, make it a completely random thing.
I don't know. That's a discussion to have with a wider group. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying.
Right.
There is another issue that just turned up from a decision by the Supreme Court with regards to streaming and effectively peer-to-peer distribution.
Right.
And if you read the latest words and music from SoCan, you can see an abbreviated article on the payment of royalties for internet sound on the internet. And I read the article twice, and I got lost at a certain point. But if you're interested in what the future of sound on the internet is going to be in Canada, because it's all a national question, you may want to go back to the sound on word, SoCan sound on word, the summer issue that came out maybe 3 weeks ago, where they comment on the Supreme Court decision. It was a split as to whether or not streaming media will be paying royalties to SoCan or not, and in one case they do, and in one case they don't. And the complete ramifications of this probably aren't clear, because the nature of the web is changing so rapidly that people will actually effectively cease downloading. They said that downloading is legal and without cost, but streaming, you have to pay for they have to pay royalties on, because it's less narrow currency than broadcasting. Downloading is making a copy. With the development of the cloud, the entire world is going to become streaming. You won't have the computer program on your computer, it will be in the cloud, and when you want to function, you will click on the function, and Apple Core will download that part and throw it onto your computer. When you stop using it, it will be erased from your hard drive, so you can continue doing your sound program, but the plugin won't be on your computer, it will be on the cloud. And this is therefore a streaming, not a download feature. It's a very complex issue, and if the Supreme Court got it wrong, then we will see an entire different regime with regards to how royalties are collected on through the internet. This is a panel discussion, and it's probably a discussion to take place between four or five experts who would be related to a subcommittee of the council. I bring this up as an example of why.
Yeah, it's important stuff.
But this is why the council needs to be there, so that the board can.
It's a complex issue.
Can create PEP, for example, was created to do this on the technical side of the CDC, but the issues are becoming so focused and technically complex at this time that it's not a matter of opinion anymore. It's a matter of skill and knowledge and expertise, and asking the right person to give you the right answer, not.
Yeah.
Bus drivers talk about whether they think streaming is better than downloading.
It's really important to get it right too, because SoCan has a habit of back charging for what they believe you owe. So to get it right as you're going in, and to get their advice going in, is really, really important. Because we, NASA, found ourselves in a similar situation where we continued to have, we're being kind of hounded to pay a particular fee for something, for our installations, for instance, and them not understanding at all what exactly it was we were doing. And it took about 3 years to get everybody talking to each other, and finally spoke to the right person at SoCan, and they said, no, you don't owe anything, it's fine. But they were actually asking us for a significant sum of money in back royalties for the presentation of works that shouldn't have been tariffed at all. So it's very important to get it right. Yeah.
The SoCan Foundation, I hear, is highly supportive of the activities of the CDC.
Yeah.
Highly, because they see this as being an extremely low cost item for an extremely powerful punch. Often these things are determined by SOCAN as to what they have to do about them. They're determined by, as in this case, the Supreme Court. And the SOJAC had issues with cash, the CD from the JTTP. And as I understand, Yves Chigon had a discussion with them, and they clearly understood what this is. This is a promotional tool of a very small sector. It's not 5,000 copies of a CD. It's small. And these kinds of things take up a lot of time, a lot of energy, and a lot of human resources. So other projects which would be very nice to implement become a little more difficult, like getting the streaming. But again, whether it's streaming or downloading has to be figured out correctly, because it would have an impact, and that's why the council will have some jobs to do along the way.
Thank you. So I've taken up the half vote for him.
These are issues. I think the council is where the board is going to be able to find individuals who want to pursue these a little further and get them.
Just to clarify, the current service, whenever someone does a piece on that, CC is not paying royalties for those performances, is that correct? And it is a rare capacity?
No, because it's technically downloaded.
Okay.
It's not. I can't speak authoritatively.
Okay.
But at the moment, if you go to a site and you listen to a piece, you don't pay. Although the impact of this ruling on YouTube is going to be substantial, because Sonus may get n thousands of hits a year. YouTube gets n millions of hits per day in Canada. And so the decision as to whether or not the royalties are collected, the small organizations on the edge of this, the big ones are the television networks. As to if they stream, they will be paying royalties, and so they would want to download TV programs to your computer, which would then be erased. But not. As I said, I read the judgment, and I went. I don't quite get the whole thing, but that's why the council needs the kinds of minds, and Jean-François Denis has been involved in this now for 15 years doing it. And he said that this is very complicated, and nobody has the answers, because no one can predict where things are going to be in 5 years' time in the digital universe.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that there's a panel, because, I can think of some interesting conversations that could continue through.
And they will assist
the
board in making informed decisions. Did we take a board? Oh, we have consensus.
And it may be that there's other ways, just not wanting to preempt that panel, the council discussion, but it may be that there's other ways
of
realizing the same intention.
There are.
For example, if the Sonus material could sort of be given in some form at arm's length to like an arm's length project that was going to do a radio station, that would be,
one in particular, because we now have a license from SOCAN to stream our radio station, NASA Radio, online radio, webcast. And it's not very much money, but if we have permission to do it from the artist, we can play it. So we could be a... Our NASA radio could include a Sona selection. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
the permission aspect was that when the Sonus contract was written, it allowed for CEC projects, existing or future projects, and the proposal just checked off whether if they checked off anything, then the CEC was able to do it. You have to read the contract,
right?
Which grew from being, when it was originally designed, it was less than half a page, and it now runs out to 3 pages with 35 initial
right.
points.
Well, and another similar thought is that perhaps some investigation into who everybody knows at CBC currently could be done, because CBC3 functions beautifully in broadcasting, you know, a bit of a, you know, on the web, a variety, and there obviously are curatorial things as well, but perhaps something connected to that sort of process could be initiated anyway.
Yeah.
A curation, a partnership sort of, or a project sort of thing.
I don't know. But we're always looking for, now that we are streaming 24 hours a day, we're always looking for content. So if there's a CEC partnership that could happen for an hour a day of streaming SONUS pieces, we're fine. It'd be a great idea we'd be into it. So
I think what's good about curation in all its forms is that it's another form of participation.
Mm.
Right? So
yeah.
Whether it's on CBC or whether it's on NYSA Radio, in either case, if there's someone who's been sort of tapped from the community to put together a certain subset of the SONUS content and with some commentary as a show, you know, to me that's better than just kind of having it all mixed up. Not
right.
not because it'll have a certain focus, but because that extra person has been, you know,
well, I would say
brought in there as an active element,
even,
as a participant.
It's even more rich when you get to have a bunch of all of the above.
Yeah.
So you get a certain amount of really totally random
yeah.
and curated
sure.
stuff.
Yeah.
So the matter of
curating
limited resources
yeah.
Yeah.
at the human level, that there are lots of nice ideas. What's the board has to deal with how these can get allocated.
Curating is something that requires an incredible amount of time and energy and effort on, and it has to be one person who brings this forth. The CEC itself doesn't have the resources, the human resources at this point, to take on something that otherwise it would sacrifice other projects. We've done this with JTTP, where, for example, on the DEGEM, the German Electroacoustic Association, has a web radio. I've put together programs for them of the JTTP winners. We've tried to get curators for SONUS, and just managing all of this stuff, there's an incredible amount of time and energy that goes into this. They're great ideas, but we need people to come forward and actually do that.
There's an organization called PRX in the States. It was set up as a radio program exchange. And it's something that maybe the CEC could, if they were interested, because we've done the same thing. When you become a member of PRX, you can post pieces. And those pieces are then made available to radio stations across North America. And they pay not very much per time that they play, but there are royalties attached. And however many times it's played, the royalties get upped and whatever. So.
As Kevin pointed out, we have specific permissions that the composers have given us that relate specifically to CEC projects.
Right.
We don't have the rights to distribute them to these kind of
right.
projects,
okay.
no matter how interesting they are and relevant.
I propose that the entire service go onto Facebook, onto YouTube. it would be interesting to do that, but it's not clear whether the contract as signed allows for the CEC to place all of this stuff into
right. I
into,
see.
And I thought it would be a simple matter of just doing file conversion and then uploading. And Eve very politely, very kindly indicated to me this is a little bigger than that.
Yeah.
Well, certainly a problem with that seems to me that it's very easy to capture audio from YouTube.
Well, it's just as you can do it from SONUS.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's very easy.
Option.
option click.
But that's one of the advantages of Sonus, that it can either be there to be played core. If I need it for a class, I just copy the file over. And think, okay, so it is both. It doesn't have a layer of interference in the language. Sonus exists in the MP3 high, has been MP3, but also it exists in 44.1 AIS per class. So it was always designed to be a compressed format and lower report band. I think that there have been some ideas that have come up here that can be carried forward to the board.
Sure.
For discussion of a lot of other ideas which are going at this point.
I'll mention it to the board, although I do feel that ultimately it's going to be something that the new council will discuss.
The other the multimedia aspect of Sonus and being able to put up videos and video music on Sonus.
Video takes a lot more memory and RAM.
It takes up all kinds of things. Mm. And
I hate to rush things,
yeah.
But
no, we
actually
to
have to strike this space.
Yeah.
Do we have a... No.
Are there other items at this time, or...
From our end, it's because it's all of the financial end of the TES goes through New Adventures in Sound Air because we fund it ourselves. But it is conceivable for that to happen, and then we reimburse CEC for that. I don't know. We'd have to. That's something we can talk about. I think at the very least, I should be getting all of the membership stuff ahead of time so that they're in the registration packs and that there's some kind of formal letter put in the registration packs. I would like to see that at the very least, but you know, going a step forward, we can do something, you know, down the road that would, Emily and I have been talking about various ways to, and we can talk to Jeff and David about that. I mean,
September as a debrief from this year's TES and talk about what we're going to do moving forward. So I'll definitely put that on the list of things to bring up.
I mean, something that another organization I was involved with has done when they did retreats, they had a member rate and a non-member rate for the retreat, and then it ended up being a reduced. The membership fee was actually reduced, so it was kind of a way to get more members, and the hope would be that they would continue to be members a year down the road when they renewed. So that's another.
Encourage people to register with the CEC.
And if they're already members, then they would have a different rate than a non-member. It's something we can discuss. It gets a little bit complicated.
We can put Michael on the organizing.
Gets a little complicated, but at the very least, I would like to see, you know, something put in the registration packs that make it very easy for someone coming to the conference to at least have it all right there in front of them, that, you know, this is what it is to be a member and here's the form.
If the resources existed to do that.
Yeah, right. I just need the stuff.
I think Michael just volunteered to do that. We have two more volunteers for next year, right off the top.
Yeah.
Jeff has seen this before. So has David.
Are we okay?
Yeah, so, yeah. Motion to adjourn?
Consensual?
Well, I wasn't here in the first place. I don't know if I count, honestly, as a, because I wasn't, am I?
That's why it's done consensual. That way we didn't have to ask people to pull out their little red book. Sorry, the membership card.
I'm all for it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm
adjourned. Yeah. All right. Good. Thank you, everyone.